You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everybody, good morning, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. It's busy, busy, busy as Bruno drops yet another transfer exit hint. Belaba talks about his Manchester United transfer frustration. We're also linked to another young superstar who I think would be fantastic from the Bundesliga. We're also going to be talking about Amorim and Ineos being very frustrated about leaks around the team, what's going on with Semenyo, and I'm sure at some point we'll be talking about Ruben Amorim and Mainoo, even though that is not on the agenda. Who knows, we may well end up talking about that. But lots to get into on the show this morning. Don't forget to smash a like on the video and leave us your comments, whether you're watching live or not. Get involved. Look, what I would say, a lot of people talking about Belaba. I want to talk about Bruno, of course. But let me just say this, first of all, this quote has come out this morning. I think it's via Sky Sports talking about Belaba. And he basically has given a direct quote saying that, let me just get it for you here. I don't know why that's bad preparation by me. I've been reading it all bloody morning and I don't actually have it saved to read to you. Dun, 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 dun. Gehi is, oh no, don't read out from them. They're rubbish. Michael Oliver has been appointed for the referee against Aston Villa. Don't care about that. Tottenham and Man United in for them. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Belaba, here we go. Asked about whether the speculation about a move to Manchester United affected his form. He said, I do not think it affected my form, but I had a lot of pressure on me. When I started the season, I wanted to have the same performances as last season. Every day, I tried to work hard and get back to my level. Did I put too much pressure on myself? Yes, I think so, but I think that's good. So you didn't have any pressure from Man United not signing you, but then you did. So did you get pressure from not getting the Man United move? No, I don't think so. Yes, I think I did. I'm taking the piss a little bit there. But Tyrus has just gifted 5 memberships. What an absolute legend. Look, I appreciate the honesty on Belabor there. We will come back to that story. I'm just dropping what he said because I want to talk about Bruno first. But what I will say about the Belabor thing, and I've said it many, many times before, a player who is only 21, who cannot deal with the pressure of not getting a move to Manchester United, and then, you know, openly admits that that pressure has affected him, is that prospect the player that you think our dead midfield needs? That's the point I think we need to be talking about. I feel like, Belabor is a talented player and he may well end up being a solution for Manchester United. But most importantly, I feel like, I've said this before, some of you agree with me, some of you don't, there are red flags around this player and it's such a crucial position. And people will say, well, Elliot Anderson is young and Adam Wharton is young. Last time I checked, Elliot Anderson had a good season last year and this year. Same with Wharton. Belabor has fell off a cliff because of a bit of pressure. Man United is going to be 10 times the pressure of not getting a move to Man United at Brighton. And that's what worries me. That's what worries me about that. Anyway, we'll come back to it because there's a lot going on at Manchester United right here, right now, that's not about summer transfers. So, United in uproar about leaks around the team formation changing. This has come out last night from numerous sources that United want to get to the bottom of where those leaks came from. Well, first and foremost, you need to speak to the Old Athletic, who you've got a great relationship with, and Laurie Whitwell, because he put it out there. I mean, it's not fucking hard, is it? You don't need Sherlock Holmes to figure it out. Laurie Whitwell put it out there, so he knows where he got it from. And you have a relationship with the Athletic where, you know, you exchange information. So it's not that bloody hard to find out, is it? I mean, you know, sometimes I think the club embarrass themselves. I really do. Like, we're not happy that the formation got leaked out and we're going to get to the bottom of it. You literally exchange information with the Athletic for interviews and stuff. They put it out there. You literally say to them, we're not going to do it anymore unless you tell us who the leak was. You won't do that. So I don't, you know, boo fucking who? You know, somebody has leaked it, but it was very obvious who it got leaked to. And you're telling me if you say to that journalist, you're not in the next 10 press conferences, his arse isn't going to fall out his legs and he's not going to tell you. Of course he's going to bloody tell you, unless you've got a close relationship with the Athletic, which I think you have. So, you know, I think that, honestly, I've seen some people reacting to that story and I think it's a little bit over the top. You know, United are outraged about a leak. You know where the leak is. Laurie Whitwell had the leak. Man United work with the Athletic. There may well be money changing hands. You know, I don't know. But they can find that out very easily. So why is it coming out that United are in an uproar about it? They could shut that down tomorrow if they wanted to. So I'm not worried about that. What I am more interested in is Bruno Fernandes. So there is more. And I would say this. A year ago, Marcus Rashford said he wanted a new challenge and he got absolutely rinsed for it. Listen to what Bruno Fernandes is now saying. I want to stay at Manchester United as long as I feel desired. I would like to experience the Spanish League and fight for big titles in Italy. I have many connections to Italy. My daughter was born there. I've already thought about returning to Portugal. The first option would be Sporting, to be happy like it was with Sporting. But I don't want to rush to ruin the image that was left there. I mean, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Right, okay. So Marcus Rashford last season, this time last year, said I would, you know, probably need a new challenge. Bruno Fernandes is basically saying, I quite like the Saudi League. I quite like the Spanish League. I like the Portuguese League. I like the Italian League. And we're all just going to sit there and go, oh, well, it's our fault because we didn't make him feel desired. I don't know. I think there is a conversation to be had here. And look, you know, he is our best player. I'm never going to, I always say that. Some people don't agree with me. He is our best player. But this interview's bang out of order. I'm sorry. If this was Paul Pogba, we'd have a very different reaction to this a few years ago. If this was Marcus Rashford a year ago, we'd have a very different reaction to this. So, you know, yesterday we're going, oh, if it was Garnacho's brother. Hold on a minute. Mainoo wasn't wearing the T-shirt. if this interview was Paul Pogba or Marcus Rashford over the last few years, there would be a very different reaction to it. Ultimately, Bruno has thrown the ownership under the bus in the first part of the interview and is basically saying he quite fancy going and playing in other leagues, all because he doesn't feel like the club desire him. Let's go back to the summer that Ten Hag nearly got sacked. Bruno hadn't had a very good season and was on 250 grand a week. His agent started talking about Bayern Munich, Saudi, Real Madrid. United gave him a 50 grand a week pay rise after a bad season. This is not the first time he has been linked with leaving the football club. Now, is this a ploy for another contract? Is it a ploy to say he's going to go? I'm still finding myself very confused by what this interview... Now, admittedly, this interview didn't happen this week. It happened about 3 weeks ago in the November international break. But I'm struggling to see what the angle of the interview is other than this is the beginning of me leaving Man United. Unless Man United give me a new contract or, you know, build me a statue. I don't know what it is that he wants, but there was no need for this interview at all. He is our best player. He plays every week and he's on very good money. And he doesn't play that well every week. You know, some weeks he scores worldies, some weeks he has bad games. So I don't really understand what his issue is because, you know, if you want to go and play in a better team because Man United are shit, I get that. You know what? I will defend him on that. If he looks at this team and goes, I've wasted 5 years of my career here. I could have been playing for Barcelona. I could have been playing for Bayern Munich. I could have been playing for Man City. I absolutely agree with him. You know, we can't say United are shit and then expect players to stay here. I completely agree with him. But I don't understand what the angle is here because, you know, the club clearly did want to keep you in the summer. Amorim clearly did want to keep you in the summer. Are you regretting that and now trying to force a move by making out it's the club, the Mo Salah angle? Are you after a new contract? It just feels a bit strange. And I think he's very lucky that he's such a well-liked player in the club and in the fan base. Because as I said, if this was a player that wasn't as well-liked as Bruno, this would be seen as inflammatory, out of order and unnecessary. Because you've basically got a player sat there going, they don't like me and I wouldn't mind going there, there and there. So I agree with Rolkis. It's weird and it's unnecessary. And, you know, I'm not bothered about calling that out. I could go further. I could say that Amorim has basically said that it's Bruno or Mainoo who plays in that position. And because he bought Cunha and Mbeumo, he shoehorns Bruno into the midfield. All of Bruno's good stuff comes from when he's in the 10 position. All of his bad stuff comes from when he's in Mainoo's position. So, you know, I could say, you know, fucking hell, here he is moaning about all not being treated well while there's a kid on the bench who gets no minutes because he's playing in his position. I could say that. I don't think it's actually that relevant, but I don't get the moan, you know? If Mainoo did an interview, imagine the reaction. People would go mad. And he's got something to moan about. I don't think Bruno's got something to moan about. I don't. And there's all people going, good old Bruno, good old Bruno, stick it up and Bruno. And I'm like, all he's doing, that's just self-serving. There's no reason for him to do that at all at this time of the season. He plays every week. He's the captain. He's the best paid player. He gets appreciation. He's just won fucking player of the month, hasn't he? Again, there's no need for that interview at all. It's totally and utterly unnecessary. So the only thing I can look at it and go is this just the beginning of the end like we saw with Rashford a year ago when he said, I need a new challenge? You know, explain to everybody, please, what that's all about. Because I don't think it's... Does Bruno want to leave? Probably. I understand it if he wants to leave, by the way. We've been saying this for years. It will get to a point where people don't want to be here. Bruno shows how weak the leaders are, says Jacob. Well, ultimately, yes, Jacob. That is an angle that, you know, probably does need a minute. He's the captain of the club. He's the leader of the club. And if you're in that dressing room today and you're reading those quotes and he's walking in, pointing fingers, throwing his arms in the air, I'm the bloody captain, I'd be thinking, hold on a minute. You're the captain. You're the leader. We're meant to get behind you. We're meant to listen to you. And you're talking about the Saudi, the Spanish league, how the club doesn't appreciate you. You know, look, as I said last night, I'm not saying Amrim should drop him for the weekend, but I think if certain people did that interview, they would be dropped at the weekend. We can't afford to drop Bruno at the weekend, but I don't get the point of that interview. And, you know, I think the club look really weak just sitting back and taking it. Really weak. If I was in charge, I wouldn't be happy about that. And I'd be saying to Amrim, well, what are we going to do about this then? Because I'm not happy about what he's done there. But the club, Bruno's in a position of strength. Salah's a Premier League legend. He's a Liverpool legend. And Liverpool still put him in his place. Man United can't put a player like Bruno in their place. They can't react to that and do anything. And he knows it. He knows he's playing on Sunday. He knows he's playing the week after. He knows he's playing the week after. The club are... There's no point in buying Man United any Manscaped for Christmas because they've got no balls. You know, they haven't got any. Club wanted to sell him and he's the only player asked in the club, says Oishan. He deserves to speak out. Without him, we'd be in the Championship. Time we appreciated a player who had a Ballon d'Or if United didn't get him. Top goal assist as well. Thank you very much. That's the other side of the conversation. Some people will agree with you on that one. The club didn't want to sell him. Bruno himself said at the end of October that the club didn't want to sell him. So I don't know why he's now telling us something else. So how you can believe Bruno when he's told us two different stories is very interesting. But if the club did want to sell him, I've got a problem with it. Got a problem with it at all. You do. That's fine. That's why I respect it. We're definitely going for Belaba, says Mrs. Stone. Here's why. The owners and the management are going to come out and say last summer he was worth 100 million. Now we got him for 50. I agree. I think Belaba will be the player that we end up with. Patrick Lynch says, feels like the club are following through on Belaba because they have all the groundwork done. Seems like they don't want to do that work for others, says Patrick. I'll tell you why they'll go for... in relation to Belaba. I've been saying for a few weeks we will sign Belaba because the club is so shit at recruitment. And I absolutely agree with you, Patrick. They will go for Belaba because they've done the groundwork. They're shit and nobody else will go for him. Whereas Elliot Anderson, because he's better than Belaba, better clubs will go for him and we know we can't win that race. So basically, it's a little, Man United are a little bit like walking into a bar, right? And there's attractive people at the bar, single, looking to mingle. And Man United see the attractive ones, see people going up to them, buying them drinks and go for the one that no one's buying a drink for. That's what United do. And then they make out it's Miss World. Or Mr. World, depending which way you're imagining it. That's what we're doing with Belaba. May well be a very attractive proposition, but no one else is buying them a drink. And that's what we do. We go for the easy one, and then we hype it up, and then it doesn't succeed, and then it ends up being called a flop after 3 months, because we hype the signing up, and then it's Jadon Sancho all over again, potentially. We didn't get him one summer. We stick with him for the next summer. I mean, has anybody ever thought that? What if Belaba is just the next Sancho, and Ineos are meant to be doing things differently? We went for Sancho one summer. We didn't get him because Dortmund mugged us off and we were shit. We went for Belaba. We didn't get him because Brighton mugged us off and we didn't have the money. The following summer, we went for Sancho and he flopped. The following summer, we go for Belaba and he flops. Is anybody at Man United not getting the memo on repetition of mistakes and the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results? Maybe, just maybe, the fact that Belaba's been shit for 6 months is because he'd be a shit signing for United and we should actually be going for players that are in form performing now. But I do agree with Patrick. I think that's exactly where we'll go. And I'm worried about it. And if we sign Belaba, I will back him and I will hope he does well. But I am definitely not going to say I'm not worried about it. And also, you're buying a player that is a prospect that will need time and patience. And half the fan base are going to go, I don't think we should be signing him. I think it's a big red flag. Oh, look at him. He is a big red flag. And then he gets the pressure and then he flops. You know, I think it's unfair to bring a player like him into the football club when half the fan base don't even want him. So they're not going to be patient. And also, the other half wants him to come in, prove everybody wrong and hit the ground running, which he probably won't do. So then they'll get frustrated. So in a very short period of time, you'll have a fan base going, oh, he's not all that. Because by definition, he's going to need time. Prospect FC. Robert McCormack makes a great point this morning. Frame it in the Louvre because it's not, he doesn't always. I'm joking. He says Rashford only said what he said when he'd been banished from the team. The point being, Bruno's saying this whilst in the team and the captain, which again makes it very strange. Mrs. Stone says, fix the leaks in the dressing room, fix them in the ceiling of Old Trafford, fix them all. Could it be that Berarda and co are forcing belabor on Amrin? And if we get someone Amrin doesn't want, he's not going to start them over Bruno, says Mrs. Stone. It's always a possibility. Tyrus Rusty, thank you very much. You gifted 5 memberships. You're a legend. This is why I've never rated him as the captain, says Seth. I'm sure he knows he is crap in the midfield, even though there are people supporting him. Now he is saying this because he's trying to shift the blame. And Alex makes a great point. Well, so did Seth, really. Alex makes a great point. He says the timing of the interview is the dodgy thing. Yeah, 100%. I still don't get it. And look, what I will say is Bruno Fernandes is our best player. He's still our best player. Like, I didn't think I'd be saying this at Christmas, but Bruno Fernandes is still our best player. In the summer, he was our best player in a shit team and he hadn't had a great season, but he was still our best player. At Christmas, he's still our best player. The only players that you could say are anywhere near Bruno is De Ligt because he's having a good season, but he's been injured for a month. Mbeumo, but he's fell off for the last month. Cunha on potential. Ahmad's been reasonable, but he is still our best player. So, you know, it is a strange one. It is a strange one. And the timing of it is really weird. I hated that the stadium design looks like a circus tent. The longer we stay under this ownership, the more appropriate it is. One joke after another.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I just got to check something in.
Okay. Just need to send a message.
Right. Sorry, I'm just catching up on yours. Ganacho cooking 2 goals, great finishes, says Max. Oh, Max, are you the biggest prat of the night? Are you the biggest prat of the day? Max actually watched Chelsea play Cardiff in the Carabao Cup last night, everybody. Whilst we were all doing relevant things, you know, maybe doing actual things, or I'm not talking about your missus or anything like that. I'm talking about putting your Christmas tree up or, you know, I was watching National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with a mulled wine. Max was there with a box of tissues watching old Pat Butcher score a couple of goals against Cardiff in the Carabao Cup. Max, you've bantered yourself there. Well done. It's the week before Christmas. Everybody's out doing good stuff and Max is knocking one out to Garnacho scoring a couple of goals against Cardiff. I mean, fucking hell. Bloody, he's back. Oh my God, what a mistake. I mean, you'll notice that was not on the agenda to talk about we made a mistake letting Garnacho go. Fuck it, mate, let Chelsea keep him. I hope he scores another 2 goals at the weekend. I'm so glad that idiot's nothing to do with his football club anymore. Absolutely. Let me guess. He was kissing the badge or he was either kissing the badge or he did the self-serving celebration where he sits on the bench, where he sits on the advertising board and goes like this again. Ah, oh, mate, I'm not interested in that idiot. I wouldn't be interested in that idiot if we were getting relegated. I'm glad he's gone. He's exactly the sort of player that we do not want at this football club. Absolutely not. You know, I'm with Robert McCormack. You can say what you like about Rashford, but at least there's something somewhere in him that actually cares about this club and the fans, and you know he's done something for the club. Thank you very much for that, Max. Anyway, you've certainly lightened the mood a little bit. Appreciate that. Vignesh says, hold on a minute. Vignesh says there is a rumor going on in that Ruben Amrin will leaving at the end of the season. Is it true? I don't know about that, mate. I think that realistically, Ruben Amrin needs to be assessed at the end of the season. That I don't want him to be gone before the end of the season. I completely agree that no matter how bad it gets, you may as well stick with him till the summer. Simply because if you imagine if we lose to Villa, we lose to Newcastle and we lose to Leeds in the next 5 games, he's under huge pressure. If he loses 3 of the next 5, he's in big, big trouble, isn't he? Let's be clear. If he loses 2, he's probably in trouble. But I would look at it and go, well, look, we need midfielders anyway. We have a board. So buy midfielder in January, Don't do the whole we're not buying anybody because we want to see if we're going to sack him in the summer. You need midfielders anyway. You have a board, so you just overrule Amrim and bring the midfielder you think in, who that can work under a new manager. You get to the summer, and in the summer, you've got people like Pochettino, Nagelsmann, who will leave Germany and USA, Tuchel might leave England. You've suddenly got a really good market for managers in the summer. So it's really important, I think, that we get to the summer and reassess. And look, if we're not in Europe, we're not in Europe this year, are we? That's on Ineos. That's you know, if they sack Amrim because he's not in Europe, they've made the right decision, but ultimately they made the wrong decision giving him the job. So, yeah. What do you think is going to happen with Bruno? Just very, very quickly. Jim says he is sat on the advertising board. I told you. But look, what do I think is going to happen with Bruno? My theory, when he didn't go to Saudi in the summer, and, you know, some of you will be new, welcome to the channel. A lot of you will have been here in the summer. What was the theory in the summer? The conspiracy theory. The theory was Man United and Bruno decided that one more year, but he can go next summer. United will cash in, take the money in the summer, and he will get the deal that he wants. I think he's gone in the summer. That's what I think will happen. Oishan's back again. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Stats, not opinion. Without Bruno and his mistakes, goals, we would currently 13th in the league. Yeah, let's sell him. I promise you'll realise when he's gone what he'd lost. I'd pay him 2 million a week. I agree with you, mate. I think if you've done the stats work and you've took his goals and mistakes off every game this season, then, you know, you might be right that we would be 13th in the league. I'll hold that thought for a moment. Let's take the Fulham game where we were 1-0 up. Did he score the goal against Fulham? No, I don't think he did. He missed the penalty against Fulham. But he cost us the goal against Fulham. So that would have been 3 points instead of one. So is that what you've done? You've gone through the season, you've just took all his goals and assists off, and you've took all his mistakes off. What you're missing there is that we never would have been in a position where we didn't have Bruno. What I mean by that is there would have been replacements. So what if the replacements had come in, we'd played differently and scored different goals? And, you know, so you can't say that statistically you're right. If you take Bruno out of this team or last season, we would have been relegated. But you wouldn't take him out of the team and not replace him anyway. And you don't know what the replacements would have done. So, look, I do agree with you. He's our best player. I'm not saying he's not. If you're asking me, would I sell him tomorrow to Saudi for 90 million? I would, yeah. I would. Unless you're going to play him as a number 10, I'd sell him tomorrow. Yes. Also, don't get Ricky started. Oyster, never go on a fan forum with Ricky and start talking like that. You know, not before Christmas. You'll make him very angry, and it takes him about 2 weeks to calm down from a Bruno rant. Okay, well, let's move on. We've got lots to talk about this morning. Thanks, everybody's tuning in, by the way. Fantastic show. Please do share the video if you're watching live. You can do that and smash a like on the video. We've only got 400 likes again. Please smash a like on video. Right, I want to talk about, what do I want to talk about next? I want to just very quickly just talk about this, because this is something that came in this morning, which caught my eye, because Bundesliga is something we do on That's Football. We've got our last game before the winter break on Friday night. Dortmund are playing, so tune in for that one. But this morning, again, Man United have been linked to Said Elmaleh of Cologne. Fantastic talent. Reminds me of, reminds me a bit of a Rooney, a Shaqiri. You know, that, you know the profile of player you know I'm talking about. They're a bit small, but they're well built. You know, great centre of gravity. He's having a brilliant season. So this is coming in from Bild this morning, which is a German outlet. Tottenham and Man United are the latest clubs to join the battle for Cologne's Elmaleh. He has a price tag of 30 to 40 million euros. Last summer, Brighton tried to get him for 20 million euros and it was turned down. Look, I suppose the question is, do you go for another prospect? And that's the problem, isn't it? Very interesting player, stocky build. That's what I was trying to say, John United. But I don't know that I really believe that is the way to go for United, if I'm being honest, because as much as I like him, I don't know I just don't know. You know, I just don't know that we should be going for prospects all the time. I think it's problematic to do that, especially when I've just been talking about Belabor as well. So, look, it's an interesting link this morning, but not necessarily one that I think we should be looking at unless we're going to move in January. I think he's going to be a superstar, but what do we do with superstar? My big concern with him is if we signed him, very exciting player, and I've seen a lot of him this season from doing the Bundesliga on That's Football, and I like Cologne, and he scores a lot of goals, and he makes a lot of things happen, and you know what? We bought Rooney as a teenager, and that was fantastic. But dropping him into that United side, I still have this major concern that we're not the place to platform prospects. I still have this massive concern that, you know, we're not the right place. And that worries me.
Now it's time for a little word from today's podcast sponsor. And as a preview, they have a great discount for you. It's been a long season so far, and after a year of grinding, you've earned a little something special for yourself. This upcoming festive season is all about taking a break, recharging, and actually enjoying the things you want. And that's where AirUp comes in. AirUp lets you drink plain water that tastes full of flavour through scent alone. No sugar, no additives, just simple hydration made better. And for someone who spends as much time talking football as I do, it's been a great addition to the routine. If you want to try it for yourself, hit the link in the show notes or visit airup.link/theunitedstand. And of course, you can use the code GOLD and you get an amazing 10% off at checkout. So what are you waiting for? Smash the link in the show notes or visit airup.link/theunitedstand and elevate your hydration game today.
I don't know what that is. I just read something there. There's an article in the Mail this morning that a lot of people are referencing about the past, Abramovich, Ibrahimovic, Ten Hag, etc., etc. I've not got a massive interest in it. You know, I don't really have a huge interest in talking about what Zlatan thought of the swimming pool when he was here, or recruitment under Ten Hag. I don't really have a massive interest in it because you know why? Our midfield has got a hole like a fucking donut in it. We've taken 2 points from 9 at Old Trafford against Everton, West Ham and Bournemouth. I really don't give a shit about Ten Hag's recruitment or what Zlatan thought about the swimming pool. Our captain is basically doing interviews, slagging the club off and talking about transfers. You know, one of our best midfield prospects is backing his brother wearing a free Manu t-shirt at Man United. Some dickhead is leaking a change of formation to Laurie Whitwell. You know, I don't need to go and find trouble from the past. We've got enough problems in the present. So I've got no interest in what Zlatan says. I've got no interest in what Ten Hag did. We've got our own problems at Man United at the moment that need major focus. I'm not going to spend any time talking about that. I did want to talk about Semenyo because I saw what Fabrizio Romano had to say about that. Interestingly as well, I got told something yesterday, and it might not come to fruition, but you know, remember Aston Villa last year? They did a lot of business in the January transfer window. I mean, look at where Villa are in the league at the moment. They're better than us, and we're playing them on Sunday. They got Rashford, they got Asensio, they got Malen. They were very active in the January transfer window. That concerns me a little bit because, obviously, if we don't do anything in the January transfer window, what if a couple of other clubs do? You know, you look at that league table at the moment, and I should be able to get it up for you because I've got one. So wasn't planning on doing this, but let's do that. Move you across as well. So if you look at the league table at the moment, just very, very quickly in relation to the January transfer window, then I want to talk to you about Semenyo. So we're on 26 points. You know, the scary thing is, by the way, if we had beaten Bournemouth, we would be on 28. So we'd be joint with Chelsea. If we'd beaten West Ham, we'd be on 30. We'd be fourth outright. And if we'd beaten Everton, we'd be joint third with Villa on 33. Now, we didn't. We didn't deserve to. That's important. You know, I think some people psychologically turn into a moron and think we should have 33 points. We shouldn't. No, we shouldn't. Because the manager didn't pick the right team, the players didn't turn up, and the opposition deserved to beat us or get a draw. So we shouldn't be on 33 points. What I'm saying is,
if we had beaten Everton, West Ham and Bournemouth at home, we'd be level with Villa on 33, which, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda. But where we are is where we deserve to be. I don't think anyone can argue that Bournemouth didn't deserve a point, or West Ham didn't deserve a point, or Everton didn't deserve to beat us, considering they played for an hour with 10 men. So we are where we deserve to be. It's frustrating, but we are. What worries me is that Liverpool are going to get better, aren't they? Chances are Liverpool are going to go past us at some point. So that puts us down to seventh. I think Palace will drop, so that puts us back to sixth. Villa could drop with Thursday night football. But what I heard yesterday is that Villa are looking for a striker because they've only got Ollie Watkins, really, and Malin, and they might be looking for a striker in January. And the name Ivan Toney's been mentioned. If Ivan Toney's back on the menu, boys and girls, bit of a Lord of the Rings reference there, then is that not the sort of player Man United should look at? You know, if Ivan Toney is back on the menu in January for a World Cup loan, as much as I want Sesko to succeed, and I think he will, is he not the sort of player that you look at that United side and go, he could be the difference between beating West Ham and drawing? He could be the difference between losing to 10-man Everton and getting a win? What worries me about this January transfer window is if we do nothing and some teams do something, sixth might be the best we can hope for. And sixth is the minimum we need. That sixth place is still going to be Europa League if the top five get Champions League. So maybe even seventh will get Europa League. I don't know how that works. But sixth place is the minimum we can drop down to. Not saying it's acceptable, but it's the minimum we can drop to. If Liverpool get better, and just one of Palace, Sunderland, Everton or Brighton overachieve, we could be down in seventh. But it doesn't really stop there, because if we're on 26 points, what about Spurs? They're only 4 points behind us. What about Newcastle? They're only 4 points behind us. Newcastle and Spurs are the sort of clubs that could hit a run and close a four-point gap in the second half of the season as well. So we're not comfortably sixth. Things could get better, but they could also get worse. And the reason I mention that is not for any other reason than to say we spend a lot of time in our fan base talking about where we could have been, but we're not there because we don't deserve to be there. And where we could have been, you could almost flip it and go where we could be. And if teams have a Villa-type January transfer window, and you can guarantee one or two will, and we have a mixed second half to the season, then we could drop. We could drop. So, you know, Undefeated says, Ivan Toney got arrested last week. Nice haircut. I don't know about that. And I haven't had a haircut, so I think you're wrong on both. Just also, let me just put that back up before I talk to you about Semenu. I just want to say that we have played 16 Premier League games. So in 3 games' time, we'll have played half our games. So we're on 26 points. I would hope we could take 9 from our next 3 games, and then we'd be on 35 times 2 is 70 points, which should be Champions League football. However, let's say we take 5, draw 2, win 1. That puts us on 31 times 2, 62. 62 is not going to be enough, I don't think, for Champions League football. Might not even be enough for Europa League. So we're approaching the halfway stage of the season is what I'm trying to say. And if you take the theory, well, double it again and see what that's where we're going to be roughly in May. It's very hard to predict. It's very, very hard to predict, isn't it? Anyway, let me talk to you about Semenu. What I'm trying to say is this season is just very hard to predict. I think Man United are very hard to predict. So this is what Fabrizio Romano had to say about Semenu. Man United loves Semenu. Amrim loves him also. He had a direct contact with him last summer, but Man United had already invested big money in that position with Cunha and Mbeumo. So at the moment, nothing is concrete. And, you know, this is the story around Semenu that's been the story around Semenu for a long time now. Clearly, he's admired, but we bought Cunha and Mbeumo, so we couldn't go for him in the summer. Now, he's obviously clearly still admired, but, well, I put it for you. I don't think we need to sit on the fence with this. Would you sign Semenyo in January? Yes or no? For me, I like the player. Doesn't solve the problem. I mean, we scored 4 goals against Bournemouth. I don't need any more goals. I need a midfield. So, you know, if we have 60-something million to spend on Semenyo next month, my question would be what I said last night. 2 half-decent midfielders puts us in the top 4. Semenyo doesn't necessarily put us in the top 4. We've got to buy midfielders. We've got to buy midfielders. So, look, there's a lot of people going, yes, because he's a quality player. He is. And, of course, if it's him or nothing, you'd go with that. But I'd be disgusted if we spent £60 million on Semenyo and didn't buy a midfielder. I'd be like, what the hell are we doing? It's almost like a shit version of the Galactico Real Madrid era where they were just buying people like Beckham, Carlos, Zidane, but they never built a team. And I'm like, this would be like collecting attacking midfielders and wingers. We need to buy midfielders. So I'm not on board with United entering the Semenyo race. He's a brilliant player and he'd definitely help us out, but you can't keep ignoring the midfield. Like, you just can't. I actually think, and we're all geniuses in hindsight, I actually think it's a little bit footballing criminal, what we did in the summer. I think it's actually, when you think about it, somebody should be sacked in the recruitment department. Somebody should be sacked for what I'm about to say. Our midfield has been crap for the 2 years before last summer. Erik ten Hag's last season, we finished 8th. The midfield was rubbish. And then the season that Ten Hag got sacked and Amrim came in, the midfield was rubbish. So for 2 seasons before last summer, our midfield was terrible. We then proceed to spend £200 million on 2 number 10s and a striker. And no midfielder. I don't think this gets mentioned enough. Somebody should be sacked for last summer's transfer window, because that to me is incredible. And you know, you've got Sir Jim Ratcliffe, petrochemical millionaire, billionaire. You got the Glazers, billionaires. And nobody in that football club thought at any point during the summer, hold on a minute, our midfield has been terrible for 2 years and we're writing cheques for £200 million and none of them are for a midfielder. Somebody or some people have to, and this is what I was saying last night as well, what's Ruben Amorim's role in that? What is Ruben Amorim's role in that? And look, our story says we did try to sign Belabor in the summer, but we didn't sign Belabor in the summer. We tried to sign Gallagher and we didn't sign Gallagher in the summer. So the point still remains, mate. We didn't sign a midfielder in the summer. Whether there was an intention to sign or not, we didn't. I'm sure some of you are mum and dads. If you get a phone call at 6 o'clock tonight saying you haven't collected Bobby from school and you go, well, I did intend to do it. It was in the diary. You know, I took him to school. So I obviously intended to pick him up. I just didn't. I ran out of time. You know, you've still upset your child. You've still got social services involved and you still haven't collected him from school. And you can't say, well, we intended to sign one. We didn't. So somebody somewhere or some people in that football club, in my opinion, if I was Sir Jim Ratcliffe, I would be saying, you're fired. You're fired. Because intense, I don't give a shit. This is not a criminal court. This is football. Intent, we've got no important. No, you know, if we're playing against Villa in the last minute and Sesko runs through one-on-one and hits the corner flag and we lose, are we going to put up with, well, I intended to put it in the top corner, I just fucked it up. You know, intent doesn't help. But to be fair, maybe that's a glimpse as to why we fail. We're very good at trying, but we're not very good at doing. And I don't know why we spent £200 million in the summer and didn't buy a midfielder. Second to that, that's why I wouldn't be spending £60 million on Semenyo in the January transfer window, because I think we'd be saying the same thing in May. Why did we spend on an attacker again? So good player, but we shouldn't be in for him unless we're going to buy a midfielder. Knight says, please let Terry know we appreciate him on the United Stand. Terry, if you're going to do a super chat hiding behind a name, at least give us more than $2, you cheapskate. We'll have to pay Tony's release clause and bail, says Undefeated. You've really got it in for Tony, haven't you, this morning? That's your second one. We get your point. Don't Wharton or Anderson. I'm not reading your name out. Wharton or Anderson. I feel that Anderson for me is the one that I would go for. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's the one. Bit of news coming in. When Ten Hag was... This is what I'm talking about. I don't really want to talk about this. When Ten Hag was told De Ligt would not be a natural fit for United, the recruitment team labelled him a Dutch Harry Maguire. The manager put his foot down and the club paid $42 million for him. You see, that's quite good. Whoever sent that in, that's good. I'm shouting out Greg, our producer. That's good, right? Because this is what happens when somebody starts leaking from... I mean, why are Man United leaking stuff about things that happened years ago? Distraction. Spin. You know, you've got people leaking the team news at the moment. You've got the captain sat there doing interviews. You've got three main new T-shirts. You've got a shit midfield. Oh, let's leak a story about Ten Hag's Zlatan, right? But the funny thing about this is they're probably leaking this going, oh, look, things are better now. Things are better now. So Ten Hag... Our recruitment team labelled De Ligt the Dutch Harry Maguire. Who in the recruitment team did that? Because can we not just sack them? Can we like ridicule them on a live show and laugh at them for an hour? Because that's the sort of thing I'd expect on Talk Sport. The Dutch Harry Maguire. Like anybody with a brain who has watched football would say the only similarity between Harry Maguire and De Ligt is that they have heads, they are human beings, and they play football. You couldn't get two different centre-backs. They're nothing like each other as centre-backs. So somebody in our recruitment team that we pay... I hope that person was one of the 50% that got sacked, because Ten Hag was right on that. £42 million for De Ligt is actually one of the best bits of business we've done in the last 10 years. I mean, you know, he's still only 26. I think he's 26. Have a look. Yeah, he's 26. Just 26. So £42 million for De Ligt, who I think's been our player of the year, player of the season. And they're trying to ridicule that decision by calling him the Dutch Harry Maguire. You know what? There must be some right idiots in that football club. Breaking news. Josh has just gifted 5 memberships. You're an absolute legend, Josh. Thanks very much this morning. Lawrence Berry says, Mount can only play in a 4-3-3 midfield. However, otherwise, he's just dropping back informally, like Delo is doing, into a back four. Look, I think in relation to that and the formation change, there's a lot of excitement around it. I see there's a lot of excitement in this community. There's a lot of excitement in the wider communities as well. But I feel that I'm not excited about Ruben Amorim going to a 4-3-3. And the reason I'm not excited about Amorim going to a 4-3-3 is because he's never played a 4-3-3. His whole career is... Greg Hartley, one of our moderators, has just got a membership. There we go. Jammy. But if Amorim goes to 4-3-3, he's not a 4-3-3 coach. It might work out, but my big issue is, and I've seen a lot of people saying this, is if Amorim goes to a 4-3-3, how long will he do it for? And why did we recruit him in the first place? If he goes to it for a month and then goes back to the old one, people will be going, why are you going back to the old one? And if he goes to it and stays with it, people will be going, well, why did we recruit him then? Because he spent a year doing a 3-4-3, then he's abandoned his principles just to bow down to what we want. So I just think if Amorim goes to a 4-3-3, you may as well sack him. And that's really harsh, but you may as well, because you may as well get a manager in that actually knows what they're doing with it. You can't have a guy learning on the job how to play a 4-3-3. That's not what he was brought here for. So I'm tempted to say, if Ruben Amorim starts playing a 4-3-3, it'll be the beginning of the end for him, because he'll have to stick with it. Because if he goes back to 3-4-3, people will be like, what are you doing? And if he sticks with it, it's sort of like, well, you've made yourself look weak. because you've absolutely changed what you're all about to try and rescue your job. And this wasn't what we brought you here for. So look, do I think 4-3-3 suits Man United's team better? Yeah, because we haven't built a team that can play a 3-4-3. He's not been backed. But if he goes to it, I think it might be problematic for him, really. Do Ineos Glazers sell the club if no Europe again, says Moad. Mate, if you're telling me the Glazers and Ineos will sell the club if we don't get Europe, I hope we finish 15th. I know that sounds harsh, but I don't know why anybody wouldn't agree. I'll take another year out of Europe to get rid of these idiots. Of course I would. Glazers gone if we don't go into Europe. I'm living it now. I can do it again. I can definitely do it again. Definitely. I would happily not be in Europe next season if it meant the Glazers were gone. 100%. Not a problem at all with that. So let me just quickly summarise the show for you this morning. So Bruno Fernandes has released more from his interview, this strange, unnecessary, self-serving interview, saying that he wants to stay unless he's underappreciated, in which case he quite likes Spain, Saudi, Italy and even Portugal. You know, why he's doing it, I don't know. And as I said, if this was Rashford or Paul Pogba, they'd be uproar. But the captain of the team, who's the best paid player, who plays every week, is allowed to just sit and slag the club off, and it's absolutely fine. It's all very strange. Belabor's done an interview as well, saying that he's not been impacted by the fall through of his move to Manchester United, but he has been impacted by it. So yeah, look, he basically admits that, you know, he's struggling with the pressure, and that's not a bad thing as he learns to get better as a player and replicate what he did last season. My problem is it's a big red flag. He's only 21. He's going to face a lot more pressure at Man United. And if he doesn't improve in the second half of the season and we sign him, I think he's going to come in with a lot of people going, is he the right player? And that's never a good start. You want to be excited about a signing. So look, as I said, I think United are going to go for Belabor because it's the easiest person to buy. I don't think they're going to go for him because he's the best person to buy. There's not going to be a big queue of people going for Belabor, but there will be for Anderson and Wharton. And I think United will stick to this, and we could have another Sancho on our hands where, you know, we tried to get him one summer. We didn't. We went back again and it didn't work out. I'm a bit worried about it. And United are apparently not happy about the formation change being leaked, and they're going to get to the bottom of it. Even though we all know it was leaked by the Laurie Whitwell in The Athletic, and United have a very good relationship with The Athletic, so they know exactly who's leaked it, but, you know, boring. Funny thing, we sold every winger to play a 4-3-3, says Seth. Well, I didn't want to go there, Seth, but you probably just dropped the most relevant comment in relation to the formation change. That's what I mean about if Amorim goes to a 4-3-3 for a short period of time while the players are at the AFCON, he knew they were going to be at the AFCON. So why didn't you keep any wingers? Second of all, if he goes back to a 3-4-3 when they come back, people will go, don't go back to that, go to a 4-3-3. And if the plan was always to go to a 4-3-3, why did you sell wingers? That's what I mean. It's got more holes than a hedgehog's pillow. It doesn't make sense. You need wingers for a 4-3-3. We haven't got any wingers. So, and we definitely haven't got any wingers at the moment because Ahmad's not here and neither is Mbeumo. So I don't know. I don't know what the plan is with United at the moment. MUFCKD says, here's the conundrum. If 4-3-3 works out and we get better results, how could Amorim be let off? Any better result will land us in top four. Secondly, when AFCON group is back, would he revert back? Or if not, what happens to Ahmad? So, I mean, it just seems like it's a bit like when Ollie went to a back five at the end. And you sort of like went, you've not done this for the last 2 years and now your job's in danger. You've gone to a back five. And I think it worked against Spurs. I think we beat Spurs, didn't we? Ronaldo scored a good goal. And then he was sacked 2 weeks later against Watford. When a manager starts changing his formation and it's not what they do, it worries me that is this sort of like desperation station. Dave the Brave, look, maybe we can talk about this at 8 o'clock because I've got to get off to do the show with Terry. But he says, are you concerned about Yoro? I love him, but he is dropping stinkers weekly. Right. I think Lenny Yoro is a generational talent and that's what the club bought. I think Real Madrid wanting him and us stealing him was a brilliant bit of business. And I think he's a really talented player. But I do agree that this season, some of his performances are quite alarming. However, if you want to get statistical, the first few weeks of the season when we were doing player ratings, he and De Ligt were our two big players. Considering in the first three games of the season, you know, we played against Arsenal, we drew against Fulham, we beat Burnley, and I can't remember what game four was. It might have been, I think game four was Man City. So first three games of the season, he was playing really, really well. He plays against Man City, Bruno throws him under the bus on a public interview, and he's not recovered. Bruno throws him under the bus when it wasn't his fault, publicly, and then Amorim drops him. I said at the time that was disgusting, and I got shot down by a lot of people. I said, this is a player that is a young player who is actually playing well, who has publicly been ridiculed by the captain for something he didn't do, and then the manager drops him the next game. So if Yoro is performing badly at the moment, where does the blame lie? He started the season well. He got rinsed by the captain and dropped by the manager. And since then, he has been erratic. So again, I say the point. What is the point in buying young, talented players at this football club if we're just going to mess them up? And I think Yoro is a case in point at the moment. Now, maybe they're knocking him down to make him stronger, but it's a strange way of doing things. So there you go. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Great point, Dave. But look, I don't have any concerns about Yoro. I think he's too talented to not get better. But over the last 24 hours, I've seen a lot of people slating Aidan Heaven as well. And again, I would just say he's a teenager. They do make mistakes, you know. They do make mistakes. I just would say again, is this football club the right place for young players to develop? And yet we've got an owner who is obsessed with buying young players and a club that can't nurture them. It is strange. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. I shall speak to you on the next one. I'm heading over for Hot Takes with Terry as well at 11. Just going to get myself a cup of tea. Thanks for watching.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know that over 80% of companies in America, each generating more than $100 million in revenue, don't show up on public stock exchanges? They're private and are largely not an option for 401k investors. But now there's a chance for everyday American savers to opt in for access through the 401k plan if they choose to. Regardless of how you're building for the future, you deserve the same opportunities because you've earned the right to more. Learn more by visiting retiresafer.org. Paid for by the Council for a Safe and Secure Retirement.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.